Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Wednesday, so time for sports. And with me is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello, Bill.
Meghna, how's it going?
It's going great. Excellent. Let's start with something to celebrate.
On behalf of our united bid, Canada, Mexico, and my country, the United States, thank you so, so very much for this incredible honor. Thank you for entrusting us with this privilege, the privilege of hosting the FIFA World Cup in 2026.
Woohoo! That's Carlos Cordero, president of the U.S. Soccer Federation. Because just today, North America, underscore that part, was announced as the winner to jointly bid, well, I guess U.S., Canada, Mexico, the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Are you ready to buy your tickets, Bill?
I'm not sure I can afford my tickets because part of the promise that this joint bid made to FIFA was that they would generate not only record crowds, but also $11 billion for FIFA. And I don't know what my part of the $11 billion would be if I buy a ticket or two, but I'm somewhat cowed.
I don't know. Okay, so maybe 50, 60, 100, 200 bucks. That.
Yeah, that would be to watch it on a big screen outside the stadium, I think.
Okay.
Well,
Foxborough, maybe.
Yeah,
we don't yet know, but wouldn't that be cool? Well, I've seen some international games there. It's
absolutely
a great spot.
And all they have to do is you know, bring in the grass, and they can do it. So it's very nice. It's a terrible stadium to watch soccer, I've got to be honest with you. And why the Kraft family hasn't built a soccer stadium, I don't know. But that's up to them.
Although, okay, so this takes us a little bit away from FIFA, but I once saw an international game there, and we sat on the on Guatemala's side.
Mm-hmm.
And man,
oh, it's great
like
fun!
The fans
no, don't
fantastic.
Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's a football stadium, and
if you've ever
been in a real legitimate soccer stadium in a country where, or even here, where an MLS team with a soccer dedicated stadium plays, it's a different experience than seeing a soccer game in a football stadium. That's the only point I'm making. To say I wouldn't go. I mean, if there are World Cup games down the road, certainly try and be there.
$11 billion might make a lot of changes in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. But let me ask you about that. Did you think it made a difference that this was a joint bid between the three North and Central American countries, I guess, North American?
Well, I think what made a difference is there wasn't very much competition. I mean, the only competition was Morocco, and Morocco is not ready to host a big soccer tournament. There would be a tremendous amount of building that would be necessary, whereas the United States, Mexico, and Canada combined pretty much have in place what they would have to provide FIFA for the tournament. Although I hope that Canada promises that they will provide stadiums with grass rather than doing what they did during the last Women's World Cup, which is
turf.
Like it or lump it, play on turf.
No.
Obviously, the Men's World Cup is not going to play on turf. And I hope no
they
Women's
did that to
World
the women,
Cup ever
though?
Will again. Yeah, it was awful.
Oh, that's
it was stupid.
Terrible.
Yeah, the women tried to organize a protest they did the best they could to try to get a legitimate surface to play on, and Canada wouldn't budge, so that's where it was.
Okay, Canada, don't let us down here. We'll leave it for the United States to let Canada down in recent days, but that's a separate story.
No, the other problem with a bid potentially is if Donald Trump can create the impression that he should be president for life, Canada and Mexico may pull out. I mean, they may say, the heck with it. You don't like us, we don't like you. Do it yourself, pal.
I'm trying to keep politics out of sports for once.
How can you?
I screwed it up. But one thing we should note, that this vote that FIFA took today was made in public, a change from past years where they chose a future World Cup host. Tell us about that.
Well, I think FIFA or the at least some of the people who haven't already been arrested and incarcerated connected with FIFA have I think the organization as a whole is probably making an effort to appear more transparent, more honest, less corrupt than they have been in the past. Now, granted, it's a low bar. It's not very hard to do that.
There were people arrested by the FBI for corruption.
There were envelopes with $40,000 in them sliding under hotel room doors, things of that nature. But I think that the public vote is part of the effort to say, hey, look, we're going to try to at least convince you that we're not quite the brigands that we have been in the past.
Okay. You know, so we may not really have a functioning North American free trade agreement now, but we have a North American football agreement.
We do.
I love
we do.
It. We should talk about the actual 2018 World Cup, which is starting tomorrow in Russia. There have already been some big headlines, like Spain firing its head coach all
of
a sudden?
Yeah, what a great way to prepare for the World Cup. 48 hours before your first game, fire the head coach because he failed to tell you that he is going to next be the coach at Real Madrid.
Whoops.
It sounds like a rather, I don't know, abrupt decision perhaps. But who knows? I mean, this may be just the kind of thing that – and apparently the Spanish players were very upset and they liked their head coach. But who knows? This is the sort of thing sometimes that that really sets a fire under a group of players and they may say, the heck with you, we're going to win the darn thing anyway.
Yeah. And but so the one team that can't say that is the USA because they didn't qualify.
They can say it, but nobody will listen. Because they aren't there.
It's a bummer. I mean, okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. And the World Cup kicks off tomorrow, so there'll be lots of football talk for us on Wednesdays for the next
Absolutely.
Couple of weeks.
Yep.
So before we run out of time, Bill, let's turn to baseball. There is an All-Star vote going on, and Mookie Betts of the Sox, super popular. Major League Baseball just released round one of the results for the fan vote for this year's All-Star game, and Betts has received almost 750,000 votes in the outfielder category. Mm-hmm. Not bad, right?
No, it's very good. I think there are several things that factor into that. One is he's hitting .354, which is about 60 points over his career average. So he's having a terrific year so far. He's got 17 home runs. And the other is he's named Mookie. And it's very, very hard to vote against somebody named Mookie. I mean, people pout at you if you vote against someone named Mookie.
Of course. And also, he's, like you said, he's very, very good.
He's very good,
so
yes. He's
multiple
very good at playing
reasons.
The baseball
yeah.
game.
Okay. Well, I hope that as the rounds go on, he keeps it up because what a great guy. Okay. One last thing that I want to talk to you about, and that is the PGA, at the PGA, the U.S. Open going on, and Tiger Woods, 42 years old now, not that there's anything wrong with that, 42, is by far the media highlight for the U.S. Open, which starts tomorrow in New York. Now, he is trying to win what would be his first major championship in 10 years.
Right.
We've just got a little bit of tape here. Here's Tiger at a press conference yesterday.
You know, there's so many young players out here and guys with so much talent, but you know, in the end, it just takes a little bit more experience and a little more time to develop.
Do you think he's got a shot at it, though?
I think it's really striking that golf writers are starting their articles about and their columns about the Open by saying, well, Tiger Woods kind of squeaked in there into the field via an exemption and this and that and the other thing. But now that he's in there, anything could happen. This seems to me desperate. It's almost like Tiger is the story, and then on the tournaments that he doesn't show up for or doesn't qualify for or you know, leaves the tournament after 2 days because he doesn't make the cut, there's almost like then it's desperate scrambling for something else to write about. I wish they'd stop. Mm. I wish they'd leave him alone. And maybe he has another major win in him, but I gotta doubt it at this point with the physical damage and all these young players that he talks about. I just think it's kind of nutty that they're still making him topic one when they write about a big tournament.
Yeah. I'm looking at my director now. I'm going to go over time just here a little bit. He's giving me the thumbs up, so we're okay. Because I want to, I mean, all this talk about, like, aging players. I'm going to move to tennis here for a second. Because world number one, Rafael Nadal, won the French Open this weekend. He beat a 24-year-old. It's Nadal's 11th French Open win. And here he is at a press conference right after winning.
You can't fight against the age, and you can't fight against the watch. That is the watch. Keep going always. If you tell me 7-8 years ago that I will be here with 32 years old having this trophy with me again, I will tell you that it's something almost impossible, but here we are.
So I think, Bill, the reason why I want to play it is I might be entering a phase in my life where hearing someone say, I couldn't believe I'd be here at the age of 32. Of course! He's the number one tennis player in the world!
Yes, especially when they play in France.
<That's> right.
If they keep playing these tournaments in France, he may win 10 more.
And Why not? Okay, that's enough. I'm talking about world famous number one saying, oh, I can't believe I'm still here at the creaky old age of 32. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only Game, which airs on WBUR on Saturdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You will always be timeless to me, Bill.
Thank you, Meghna. What a nice thing for you to say.